we remind ourselves, the Bible was first written in an age when few people, because of age, less than 5%, only 2% of the world could read, and the poor could read and write. The fact the Bible began to be written centuries before the coming of Christ testifies to the divine testimony of how powerful, influential really is. Christ, first of all, used the Old Testament writings. We speak of them anyway, can be read, and the AML here 2000 BC. In the coming of Christ, most human race could not read or write. Mr. Clarkson, I don't know the exact figures, but I estimate that much of the majority of human race to this day cannot read or write. God evidently wanted to reach the ones that human race deeply by inspiring the secret of communicating what we think by the written word. You may safely say that God invented writing to make the reading first of the Bible the written masters of Christianity over the centuries. There would be, there couldn't be, and St. Augustine, and St. Jerome, the last said, St. Ignatius, except for the art of writing. But writing is useless. Thus there are people who know what to read. There are two foci to this conference. First, to appreciate the indispensable importance of reading, good, sound, healthy reading, to sustain and deepen our faith. But secondly, we need to cultivate the art of writing ourselves. I'm talking about reading, but I'm also speaking about the importance of writing. This will be, the written word will be the most influential in the history of the world until the end of time. Our next question. Why is reading so influential? Notice, I'm not merely saying that reading is important. It is. Or even that it is mainly influential. It also certainly is. Reading is indispensable. Indispensable for growing in knowledge, and doubly indispensable for growing in knowledge of God and His will. I can say this safely. I ask why it's really influential. More than any other means of social communication, in my judgment, that judgment is being leaders of the world. The world has been mainly led by men and women who wrote, then by those who read what was written. I read this calls for some explanation. In view of the marvelous discovery we call electronic media, telephone, telegraph, radio and television, the film, radar, and their derivatives. I know what I'm saying. There is no communication can begin to compare with the influence of reading. I don't want to make a comparative comparison between reading and other means of communicating ideas. My intent is a more practical one, of emphasizing to the last degree the important, you know, I say indispensable, is a printed word for us to read if you want to grow in the life of God. Over the years, in teaching Sacred Scripture, I told my students that writing in the printed word began when God first revealed to the human race. God made sure His revealed word was in written form. Reading is so influential, asking no more. Why is it so powerful in shaping the minds of the whole world? It is so influential because the ideas expressed in a piece of good writing are concentrated and not diffused. I've done my share of speaking. I've done my share of listening to people talk. In 5 minutes, I begin to hear a speaker. 5 minutes, I found out where the speaker should be listened to. Hear many things we should not listen to. But we listen, we want to hear. Oh, how important this is. Those who write their thoughts deserve to be read, always implying that the writing is worth reading. A person who has now learned how to write, I will say it, does not really know how to communicate his ideas to others. Again, what is written and then published on the law of economics and other reasons too, are seen by the law of economics. It is for another reason. Done professionally. One person who knows what they are saying and say it intelligently and try to say it persuasively. Even when they are not writing the truth. Also say this, I sincerely believe that most of the printed writing in the world today does not deserve to be read. Geniuses of the untrue, might extensively, though they know how powerful and influential on the mind of the people for whom they run, and the reason for it is because what is written has been thought through. What is written is meant to persuade those who read. I repeat, even and especially the light, what is not the truth, I must repeat this. Most of the writing in the world today is not the truth. I would spend hours, I have over the years, spend weeks telling my students most of the writing in the world today, I repeat, is not the truth. The written word be in competition with other written words is done carefully by the Lord in such a way the maximum of thought goes into a minimum of content. All the influence of the written word. Before I begin a comment like this, I ask the Lord, influence the minds of those whom I am speaking. I have begged the Lord, and I ask Him now, influence all of you to write in God's name, write. That's the verb, write. And the mood is imperative, write. Moreover, what is being read is normally done in solitude. The mind of the writer, in fact, the mind of the reader, in a quiet, reflective, and by definition, sympathetic mood. And somebody is speaking, you may be listening, but not necessarily. And somebody is reading something, you don't read unless you want. The will is behind the action of reading. And the most powerful influence for shaping our minds is the will. If I don't like what I'm reading, what do you do? I look down. Or some people do, I see 20 people, look at their hand. Sleeping. speaking out of what I know from years of experience is one only because of God's grace that enabled this sinner to publish over 40 books and millions of words in articles. Whereas when I'm speaking, I know exactly. And if somebody in the audience did not want to listen, you have a strong will, they can keep awake. It's hard to stay awake when you're not listening. If people are crying, you are speaking, they go to sleep. I've talked to too many people over the years. Some manifest of being bored or displeased in very dramatic ways. And not so with readers. The one who reads wants to be told what the written word is telling you. That is why for all time Holy Spirit made sure that the famous words of Pilate are preserved in sacred scripture. Remember, after Christ was crucified, and over the cross, up in the letters, whatever they were, who knows my heart? Who knows the initials? I? Okay. Which means I stand for Jesus in the beginning of Christianity. Jesus Nazarenus. And who else to let us stand for? The King of the
Jews.
The King of whom?
Jews.
Of the Jews. Of the Nazarenes. The Jews complained of Pilate, only led on the cross. Last when Pilate answered, remember what I have written, I have written. What has been written can be read years, centuries, after it was first composed by the author. What is written, as every author holds, is written not only for his own generation, but for generations yet unborn. I sincerely hope I'll do two things during this conference. First of all, to inspire you to read good, sound, healthy reading, more than you've ever done before. And secondly, to begin writing for me, yes, you, I do not plan this. A thought had occurred to me. Have you had a month or what?
July.
I think August. September, October, well, October. I'd like to hear from as many of you as possible what you have written. I'll be very happy to do this. Send me a copy of what you have written. I promise to help you get what you've written published. I mean it. But I've encouraged so many people to write. What did I say, October? September? There are three full months. A letter to the editor of paper. Articles for magazines. I trust either all of you, many of you know, pulled by the Holy See to start a new Catholic magazine. Recommend to your reading. Who knows the name of the magazine? What is it?
The Catholic Faith.
The Catholic Faith. Subscription over 10,000 people. Our hope is publish every month, right now it's every other month. I'm quoting the first part of a long meditation. Write for publication. I mean that with all my heart. Finally, I'm recommending the value of writing, and of course, the value of reading, good writing. Unlike other forms of a discourse, the written word can be gone over and over and over. It can be studied and scrutinized, and as a consequence, can have a profound impact on the human spirit. It is beyond the calculation. We have said this in some retreat before. I studied theology for 4 years. I'm an ordination sent to Europe, get another degree. About 4 years of undergraduate theology. I've had over 5,000 quotations. The writers that I have read, is therefore understandably indelible. What is written? Somewhere years ago, I began studying Latin. There was a phrase written, of course, in Latin. I've forgotten many things that I've read. I've never forgotten this. Verbum vorum, scriptum omnes. The spoken words fly. What is written stays, it remains. Verbum vorum, scriptum omnes. The spoken words fly away, the written words remain. The order, unless I have finished with this meditation, what is spiritual reading? To begin by describing in terms of what is not. water. Lighting is not. Man is easy. Spiritual reading is not secular reading. Oh, dear Lord, the millions of waste dollars wasted in reading what we should not read. I don't necessarily need reading that is on probably worse than anti-Catholic, which there is so much in the world today. But reading that is useful. Spiritual reading is that reading whose purpose as writing is to assist the believer to better know, love, and serve God. To better know, love, and serve God. And thereby become more godlike, which means more holy in the personal life of prayer and practice of Christian virtue. I cannot begin to tell you how profoundly influential is good, solid, spiritual reading. Notice I am saying that spiritual reading is that reading whose purpose as writing is to assist the believer. Only God knows. But I am sure when we enter eternity, more the judgment that God will make on us is what we read, how much we have read. The reading we do should make us more faithful, more holy Catholics. Why put it that way? It sounds odd. The reason is there is a sense in which any kind of reading, most obviously secular, of the daily paper, or popular knowledge, may and by now I have been told, is considered by many people spiritual reading, where their purpose in their minds is spiritual. By that standard, you need Time or Newsweek, or you know other magazines that are worse. Provided, so it is claimed, a person can say, my purpose is spiritual, the reading is spiritual. Not so. You cannot canonize the world. I am not here speaking of spiritual meaning in that broad sense. Spiritual reading in the sense in which we are here describing it is writing done with a spiritual purpose. Not only one, they happen to be read with perhaps a spiritual intention in mind. Quite frankly, all our reading in the most sacred should be spiritualized. But that is not the same as spiritual reading. Concretely, the forms of this kind of spiritual reading can take are not as numerous as may seem. I reduce them to just five, only five, the Scriptures, all the New Testament, otherwise only the Bible, and make sure you know what books belong to the Catholic Bible. The Bible's all I've seen it. In Catholic homes, and not Catholic. And these 7 books are missing, as I'm sure you know, in every Protestant Bible. Not only that they be authentic in all the Catholic books of the Bible, but may absolutely be sure that the translation is authentically Catholic. I announce in ours how we identify but describe authentic Catholic translation. I must say this. Most of the English translations of the Bible are not authentically Catholic. Period, or change it by an exclamation mark. Big, shiny imprimatur at the end of the book. Well, the translation, I repeat, is not authentically Catholic. Concretely, the form when I'm talking about spiritual reading, which I'm recommending, are not as numerous as they seem, as what I'm removing. Except for 5 classifications of readings, the Bible, and then make sure it's a good Catholic translation. Secondly, the teaching of the Church or sacred doctrine, again, there are many books written about what the Church teaches. Be sure that this book on sacred doctrine is authentically Catholic. Third classification, the history of the Church in general, any one of the myriad of aspects of the Church's passage through time. Over the years, I've read the 40 volumes of the history of the popes. Read them once, read them again. Another classification of books, biographies of the lives and thoughts of saintly persons is written by themselves and those of the best. Last couple of years, I published a book the books every Catholic should read. And 105 authors, with a total of over 5,000 books they published. Again, besides the writings by the saints, writings about the saints, but be sure the writer believes in the Catholic faith. Then the writings of scholarly persons, the biographies of saintly men and women, whether canonized or not, those who have placed these books last. Continue. Why is spiritual reading necessary? No theatrical confusion. Necessary. It's necessary as a normal way of nourishing the Christian faith, which means getting food for the mind through the will and affection of my love to serve God accordingly. I see the normal way, longing for exceptions, has to be proved the rule. We are all to take the ordinary means to conclude our physical life. Among these ordinary means is nothing more basic than food for the body. Without feeding the body, our body dies. Either that is inside of me or I die. But what is true for the body is even more true for the soul. This will be the longest conference during the retreat. I hope to finish by the end of the hour. But want to be sure and ask our Lord to inspire all of you to do some spiritual reading, and I dare say every day, in just 10 or 15 minutes, the soul needs to be nourished, and nothing is more available and accessible and providable than good, sound, spiritual reading. I know what I'm saying. No nourish the mind in faith. What happens? The faith weakens, withers, and dies. Pause for a moment, reflect on the millions of thought hours spent daily in a single large American city, literally devouring, I use the word happening, I could have said garbage, dished out in truckloads to the people. And ask yourself, how many of these people spend 0.1% of their mind reading the inspired text of the Bible, or doctrine of the church, or the writings of the saints, or the writings about the saints? No wonder the Catholic Church in the United States, I mean every syllable of this sentence, The Catholic Church of the United States is dying. Do you hear me? I hope you believe me. It's dying. We further reflect on the other minute, what shall I call, 4 hours, that people now spend watching television or listening to radio. The urgency, what we are saying becomes absolutely imperative. There must be. I pin a text when I publish. I put this into italics. There must be, absolutely must be, a regular steady diet of sound nourishment for the soul. At the risk of losing one's spiritual life, and not at the risk, better, not the verdict of Christian history. Here it is. Now I see we've lost all but about 6 Catholic colleges and universities. They're all gone. The name is still there. I've taught these universities. I know what's going on, how well I go. However, an important other. This necessity is not only for surviving in the faith, it is also and especially for growing the faith. The time we waste in reading what is positively poisonous to our faith. I wish to have God on my mind during the day. I must read about God, what he has to say, what he spoke. When the fact of telling God, well, I've heard that. Come to think, there are some writings. They tell me you're inspired. How interesting. I'm afraid most Catholics say. And then not a God even the courtesy of reading what he inspired. Over the years, I've memorized whole books of the Bible. What an important function it is, not just passively remember, but actively memorize. You want to pray. What is prayer except talking with God? For the preposition I use, I'm not just to God, but with God. God is always and ever is our faith. God is always speaking to us. But we should speak to him. The language that he spoke, we should know. If I want to talk to God in humble and easy conversation, read about what God is, what is done, is doing, and is doing right now in the world. and all of us are going to school, the first grade on, we all remember, remember, page after page, more and more, what did we memorize? Shortly after, I became a teacher in theology at Jesuit Theology. Now the others are my Jesuit students. More than I was then, began writing and publishing a series of high school textbooks that are authentically Catholic. By now, millions of copies, I'm sure, have been sold. How well we know the pagan English authors, how little we know about those in our own language, where they were Catholic. We now know from experience the surest way of lapsing into silence, in rendering a person's company, nothing on my mind to say. I wish to develop a strong Catholic faith that is clear and sound and unalloyed. I must therefore read what the Catholic Church teaches, not only in the solemn doctrines published by the popes. Make sure I read what the Catholic Church teaches. Read what I should when others tell me about what she teaches or explains to me. Hear the God's revelation of the Church's doctrine. And we again make sure that our persons who themselves are faithful to the Catholic Church, who love the Church. Well, I know everyone who writes about the Church is a friend of the Church. Moreover, please to make sure I make sense of what's happening in the Church today. I must read about what happened in the Church yesterday. If I asked you, know the dates and the names of what we call important persons in history. If I'm to be inspired by the mystical body of Christ, I must know this is not only the most considered territory in which I live. The Catholic Church, just for the record, is now 2,000 years old. The Church was founded the moment Christ died on the cross. I'm to be strong in my faith in this century, and this is the century where he has created more heretics, more unbelievers, than any century in human history before. All this means I must read the history of the mystical body and identify myself in spirit with the by now millions, and believe before me that hundreds of thousands who shed their blood in defense of the faith, read the lines of the martyrs. How happy, how thrilled I am to tell you, members of my own family by blood, my parents were both born in Europe. A few of my dear relatives shed their blood for Christ. Oh, the joy this gives me or want to become holy, I must read about holy people, their faithful strength of mind, and trusting God's providence and encouragement. Above all, their victory over self, the worst enemy we have in the world, is ourselves. One who overcome the world in which we live, and the evil spirit was constantly attacking, trying to tempt and seduce us. How we need encouragement. From whom? From the saints. Hear it. Only saints reproduce saints. There is such a thing as spiritual genealogy. Unless I read the lives of saintly people who are faithful, their trials, the victory over themselves, over their own passions, how could they reproduce themselves in me? And near 4 o'clock, I'll try to finish by 4. I should have a few simple implications. By now, one implication should be clear. Who needs spiritual reading? Everyone who wants to become Christ-like. Everyone who wants to become like Christ. There's no choice. Sin is not for nothing called the Word of God. It's not a thing of Him. It is also a lifeless prayers in the written Word of God. In the Gospel which described His life. In the apostolic writings which He inspired. Written of the church which He founded, which He continues day and night to remain His physical head. Written of the saintly men and women who are faithful images of what Jesus our Master had been. This Master is unique. Hear it. Christ not only teaches, He wants to reproduce Himself. All of this is ready to be read by us. All we have to be ready to read, Christ, we are told by St. John, in the light that shines in the darkness, an honest must admit how dark is this darkness that surrounds us. We need, desperately need, the light of our own world. Enlighten us on how we ought to serve Him so they might love Him. Loving Him dearly ourselves, inspire countless souls to love and serve Him with us. Repeat what I've said so often. No one gets to heaven alone. No one. Either we help others reach heaven, or we're not getting ourselves. Lord Jesus, inspire us in all we can know about You and the saintly men, women, and children You've inspired over the centuries by good, sound, Catholic, spiritual reading. Amen.
Thank you.